As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Patrick, can you hear me?
I can indeed.
I think that this will be good to do another podcast. I got a lot of problems with you people.
What?
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that has heard of Clifford the Big Red Dog. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick.
That was so funny that you thought that was so funny.
I thought it was really good. Ethan just texted we have a group chat, and Ethan just texted.
With who? Who do we have the group chat?
We have a group chat with Regan and Phil.
Even though Phil never contributes anything.
He never contributes to the group chat. He's a hermit.
To the group chat. I don't know what the deal is. Yeah.
And
maybe
you
got a new number.
With the Scruple podcast. Shout out the Scruple podcast. But Ethan made a Clifford the Big Red Dog reference, and Regan didn't get it. And so he texts, "Have you heard of Clifford the Big Red Dog?" Which is just, I only saw that. And I just saw like a little notification on my phone. Ethan, cereal bowl, "Have you heard of Clifford the Big Red Dog?" Hey, buddy.
Come here.
Hey. You heard of Clifford the Big Red Dog? You ever heard of Clifford?
You heard about this big dog, Clifford?
Dude, he's big.
Well, the reason we were talking about Clifford is because we were talking about where Regan lives in Canada, because
I'm pretty sure this town is so small that if we mention the thing we were talking about, it's identifying information.
Sure, but I don't think it's actually identifying information, because
no.
There's probably lots of statues of moose all over the country. There's this particular moose statue that Regan sent us, and it was just so funny to me because Patrick brought up that the screenshot of the Google Maps image of this moose says that the moose closes at 5 p.m. And I was like, how do you close a statue? And then Patrick said, with a big sheet.
With a big sheet, obviously.
And that made me laugh. And then Regan sent another picture of the moose, and it had this tiny little fence around it.
The fence is like 4 feet tall.
It's a small fence.
It's just huge,
like a 30-foot moose. And I was like, how do you think they're going to keep that moose inside there with that tiny little fence?
You just walk right over it.
You just walk in, just step over it. Oh, man, it was just a really great midday group chat bit fest. And then I referenced, and then we were talking about what the real fence is, and I referenced a Canadian Emily Elizabeth, and then Regan was like, "Who's Emily Elizabeth?" And I said,
"Have you heard of the big rock?" I love the fact that the moose statue closes and the fence is around the perimeter of the moose, so anyone could like walk up to the fence and look at the moose.
Yes, like it's.
Is it like you have to? It has to be within business hours to go into the fence. Like, do they have a guy sitting in that field just being like, "Okay, one at a time, please, please."
Yeah,
one at a time.
There's a cop that monitors it. If he finds anybody looking at the moose, he'll chase you down.
Please stop trying to touch the moose's butt. Thank you.
Please don't look at this moose after 5 p.m.
Please stop looking at this moose.
There's two things that aren't allowed. Ladies can't be outside after 8:30. You can't look at the moose after 5. If you want to get that reference, you got to listen to our Seek 22 podcast. Check out seek22focus.org/seek22. Best conference that's virtually held.
It's virtually the best conference.
It's virtually you've ever the best been conference to. In the world.
Yes. You can have that for free, Focus. I had a bit over the Christmas break that I thought about. I mentioned this on the Seek episode. Our bit at the end of the Seek episode reminded me of this one. So I walked into Phoebe's house after not being there for a while. And I wanted to get something from the pantry, but I wanted to make sure no one was saving anything for later. And I wanted to eat something, but I wanted to make sure it wasn't being like saved, you know?
Right.
And so I wanted to walk up and be like, hey, is anybody saving this for later? Is anybody saving this? And I thought in my head, how funny would it be for me to not bring out a bag of pretzels? But to bring out something else and be like, hey, you guys saving this? You guys saving this for later? And so I brought out a bag of dog food. Like, hey, you guys saving this for something? The next day I took, I found the turkey in the fridge and I pulled out a turkey and I said, hey, you guys saving this for later? Because I love the idea of like someone picking up a turkey and being like, I'm going to have a quick snack. Like a whole turkey.
I'm just going to eat this. A whole turkey.
I thought about you because I think that that's a joke you'd appreciate.
It is.
It's a running
Dagwood looking boy.
What?
Remember Dagwood?
No.
You don't know about Dagwood?
Is he from Archie?
He was no, he's Archie-esque, I would say. He's from the funnies in your Sunday comics.
Oh, yeah.
Dagwood was known for making very large sandwiches and eating them very quickly.
That's like such a bit with like there's always like, that's a cartoon character trope. It's a guy who eats big sandwiches.
Guy who eats big sandwiches.
I tried making a big sandwich once. It wasn't that big. I put like a pound of meat on that bad boy.
You ever been to McAllister's?
You ever been to Arby's?
I want you to answer my question, though.
No.
Okay. There's a sandwich at McAllister's called the King Club.
Sure.
It's literally two sandwiches stacked on top of each other.
And then a king walks in and just smacks you.
You can't fit your mouth around the sandwich. You have to split it up into its constituent sandwiches, which is frustrating.
Because that's just two sandwiches.
But I would imagine that if Dagwood were there... Oh, thank goodness this chair has wheels or else I would have broke my back. He would have unhinged his jaw and eaten the sandwich is what I was getting at. I think that is interesting because it's Dagwood is the sandwich guy, right? Dennis, clearly a menace.
It's from Dennis the Menace.
No. Yeah.
Oh.
No, Dagwood's a different comic from Dennis the Menace.
But they cross over, I'm sure. They like really look.
Well, I'm sure, but like, does Garfield cross over with Family Circus?
I don't know. I think that'd be too powerful. Think of the merchandising opportunities.
What was your favorite? Because I really enjoyed
Foxtrot.
Foxtrot was hard to beat, man.
Foxtrot was hard.
Yeah, it was a weird point in my life when my parents still got the paper and I was like entering adolescence, where every week my dad would read the Foxtrot cartoon, and when they would make fun of the teenage son, he'd be like, "Come read this. This is you." I'd be like, "What the hell?
How dare
like,
you?"
I don't sleep until 3 p.m. every day.
I sleep like until this. 1. Okay.
I'm not Roderick from Diary of a Wimpy Kid. You're making me out to be this kind of this lethargic.
You're making me out to be a menace. That's Dennis. His name rhymes. Never name your kid Dennis.
To be Dennis. Yeah. Foxtrot was pretty good. I enjoyed the occasional Ziggy. Marmaduke. And he was always getting.
He's always getting on top of stuff. That Marmaduke. He's not Ziggy. Poor dog. He's not a ground dog.
There is one that I'm thinking of that I can't seem to remember that I was.
Pickles.
No, I didn't. We didn't get pickles.
Pearls Before Swine?
That's the one.
That's
Pearls
the best
Before
one.
Swine.
So
that is absolutely the best
that
one.
That wasn't in my newspaper, but I have Pearls Before Swine treasuries. My cousins and I love Pearls Before Swine.
They are so funny.
So funny.
I always thought it was really cool when I would read a comic and they use like the symbols to do swear words. Mm. And I'd be like, I bet I know what that one is.
I wonder what swear word he's saying.
I don't know why this joke is funny, but that pig is smoking a cigarette and that's hilarious.
I love the cigarette vibes in that comic were so funny. Yes. It's like Rat is smoking a cigarette and Pig is so pure, and then he smokes a cigarette. I love it.
Yes. Dilbert. How can we forget Dilbert? Too bad about Scott Adams, but we like
Dilbert. Did he pass
away? No, he's just a Republican.
Oh,
I don't even have politics. He's more than a Republican. He's like super far right wing, like disrespectful online.
I think he's been on Alex Jones's show.
He made a tweet recently that I think is interesting and I would like to bring up at this juncture. I did not bring up comics just so I could bring up this particular Scott Adams tweet.
It seems to be working out for you though.
Yeah, but this is great content. Scott Adams is I'm sorry that I said Republican earlier. I don't mean to use the R&D words on this podcast. Because
the R&D or the research and development words,
the donkey and elephant words.
Oh, okay.
because we all know that everyone knows they're the same, right? Like we all know that they're the same, that they're all making money off of insider stock trades. Like we all know, everyone knows. Okay. So NBC News tweeted 18 hours ago, CIA says that the mysterious symptoms known as Havana Syndrome are not the result of a sustained global campaign by a hostile power aimed at hundreds of American diplomats and spies. And then Scott Adams quote tweets and says, I don't recall anyone but me saying the secret sonic weapon was obvious BS from day one. This is why you should always believe me over the government. I have the better track record. And I'm not saying that the government has a great track record, but when the guy who wrote Dilbert is saying you need to listen to me more than your county, state,
government,
and federal government, it's like we live in a clown world.
This is how we get demagogues.
Yes.
That's literally how we get demagogues. Yeah. But no, I do very distinctly recall a lot of podcasts reporting on Havana Syndrome and listening to them. That's where I first heard. The first time I heard about Havana Syndrome was because of a critique of it.
His Twitter bio is number one best predictor in the country during the pandemic.
That's what they all say. People say
number
that
one
about,
best predictor.
People say that about Alex Jones all the time. It's like a meme within like people who critique far right wing commentators. They're like, oh, Alex Jones, right again, because he says like 80 different things that are all contradictory, and then one of them happens to be kind of correct. And he's like, I said it from the beginning. I said it. I've known the plan for 20 years. But the funny thing is that he's been milking that for like 28 years on the air. You'd think that would run out.
You think it would.
You'd be like, if you're so good at predicting, like why haven't you been able to tell us more? Like why haven't you been able to be more correct? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You found Bohemian Grove. Like, but why can't you find Bohemian Grove 2?
But it wasn't hidden.
No, but he snuck in and like found the crazy weird ritual that they do.
Did you read the book by the other guy he snuck in with?
No.
Have you heard the story? He snuck in with a journalist and he snuck in through the woods, but the journalist walked in through the front door. it's really funny because he like asked a guy who lived in the town. He was like, Bohemian Grove? He's like, yeah, the weird stuff goes down there. Like the rich people get together and they do like weird stuff. He was like, do you know how to sneak on? He's like, oh, yeah, it's super easy. Just go to Brooks Brothers, get a suit, walk in the front door. The security's going to be like, this guy's rich, obviously, so he's just going to let you in. Return the suit the next day. Yeah.
I just love the idea that the journalist is, like, doing the reasonable thing, and Alex Jones is like, that's not going to work. We've got to get under there.
He was talking about rappelling up the cliffside.
You got to hand it to him.
You do indeed not have to hand it to
him. Okay, so like, let's pull it back, right? We did say on our Seek episode that we're not a conspiracy theory podcast, yet here we are talking about Alex Jones at the Bohemian Grove.
I listen to an Alex Jones podcast. It's top of mind for me sometimes.
So you sometimes maybe have to hand it to him, right?
Sure.
Let's condemn the things that Alex Jones has done wrong, but let's talk about his desire to, at some points in his life, find the truth about evil things that were going on.
And make money on it.
Okay, if you had the opportunity to rappel into the Bohemian Grove, film it, and make a bunch of money,
I simply would not.
I simply would is the thing.
Okay, all right, fair.
And I would ask you to come with me. Would you? Okay, let's say forget Bohemian Grove ever happened. Let's say Ethan, through his ingenuity, finds a lead on something similar, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, Patrick, nobody else is on this. I think there's something here. There's a story here that we could.
Sure. Yeah.
We could build the Crunch Podcast Network that we've always wanted to build if we just were able to get this and sell it to TMZ and whoever else, right? Would you come with me and rappel down a cliff into this thing to get the scoop?
To get the scoop? Absolutely, yeah. I would. And then when I find out that a journalist reported on it in the 1980s, I'd be like, oh, this is weird. This is kind of...
Well, it would be a new thing. If the first part of the hypothetical was, imagine if it's a different thing.
We got scooped. Yes, I...
Have I told you about the aliens that I've found? Man, do you have anything funny to say? Because I don't.
My funny thing was the fridge bit. The giant turkey. That was my funny. How did we get on this?
I don't... Dagwood, Dilbert, Scott Adams, Alex
Jones.
Scott
Alex Jones.
Yep. So, I was just trying to do bits about comics.
Dang it, we devolved.
We did devolve.
Well, after a few minutes of discussing conspiracy theories, I think it's time for us to talk about God.
I do too. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You want to talk about anxiety.
I do want to talk about anxiety. Let's just say that I have had a lot of it lately.
Okay.
And it's not just me. I've spoken to people I'm close to. It just seems like we're just kind of in a phase where a lot of people are making big decisions. Everyone's kind of hard. Everyone are working really hard. Everyone's kind of feeling pressure from the culture, feeling pressure from the church, feeling kind of aimless, feeling kind of hopeless, feeling like, man, no matter how many Bible studies we lead, you know, they're still not, like, at the diocesan level, they're still not doing what we think they should be doing. At the parish level, we're still outnumbered by all these old women that just don't seem to want to die, you know, like, it's just kind of how it feels. Lord. It just feels like that. Like, we're just kind of still stuck in this, like, we've been talking about what needs to change in the church for years. We've been talking about what needs to change in the culture for years, and yet it just feels like we're spinning our wheels, you know, like all the way down to the level of, like, personally and, like, in our spiritual lives and at our jobs, all the way up to, like, the big things that are going on, you know? And so I have been experiencing quite a bit of anxiety because I feel like I'm struggling in my job, like, doing the things that I know that I ought to do, staying focused, staying on task. Like, my job is sales, and so all of it depends on my own action. Like, if I don't pick up the phone and call people, then you don't make any sales. And so it's just kind of stressful. Like, when I start to feel myself getting behind because I'm falling into bad habits, because someone was mean to me on the phone, and then I'm like, oh no, what do I do to cope with this? And I browse the internet, and then emails pile up, and then I look at the list of emails, and I'm like, oh no, I've put this off for so long. This is really anxiety inducing. I'm going to solve it with even more internet browsing. And then eventually there comes a tipping point where you just are like, crap, I'm so far behind. And then you realize that nobody actually is, like, mad at you. And so you just kind of go through and you apologize and whatever. And, like, that's a cycle that I feel like I go through all the time where I just, like, put stuff off and, like, cope in bad ways. And then I deal with it and I face it head on and it's actually fine. And I can, like, operate in that space for a while, but then something will happen where it'll creep back in. I think a potential solution to that I've been trying to pray into is the idea of receptivity and the idea of living in the present moment as like a solution to anxiety. I've been reading the Diary of Saint Faustina. Never read it before. What a book.
It's good stuff.
Have you ever read it?
I've read parts of it. Phoebe was in the Daughters of Divine Mercy household, and our child is due on Divine Mercy Sunday.
Our child is named Divine Mercy Nevi for now. And so I was reading it, and she has a line where she says that there's no grace that's repeated. The grace that you can receive at each and every moment, like if you miss it, then it's gone. You can't get that grace again, right? God will make new grace for you. But like at each moment in time, there's individual specific graces that you can be receiving from the Lord and entering into. And like that is how she dealt with, like deals with monotony, right? Like when things are hard and you're just going at it over and over and over again, like being present where you are and being magnanimous in every moment is the invitation. And that's tough because when you're doing emails or when you're trying to get your homework done or when you're like driving to work, it's like, man, I'm just doing this thing that I always have to do. This really sucks. Like the question is not often in our minds, how can my soul respond and how can I be as great as I know that I'm called to be in this moment? Because we think like we have to be generally like really great and really successful. But when it gets down to the particular moments, like that idea of greatness and that idea of magnanimity is lost in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking a lot about that. Because I feel like every day I'm pulled out of the present moment by everything. And I genuinely, like, don't even know, like, if you ask me a percentage of time, like, Ethan, what percentage of time are you, like, peaceful, you feel like you are where you need to be, and you're doing what you need to do? Which, for a Christian who, like, believes in everything that Jesus said in the gospel, that number should be, like, between 99 and 100%. Like, if we're really doing what we need to do.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like 10%, you know, 8%. If you just think about all my waking hours, I think that's a really good question to start to examine. Oh, am I really living the Christian life day to day, moment to moment, as I think that I ought? Because when I think about how often I'm peaceful, I'm not peaceful very often, you know, like peace is a really big fruit of the Spirit. So I don't know, how often, what percentage of time would you say that you are peaceful? Because I'm interested in your answer.
This may come as a surprise because I am indeed an anxious person with anxiety. I haven't been tested recently, so maybe I no longer have generalized anxiety disorder because it is something that can come and go in some people. But I feel peaceful a lot of the time.
That's good.
Perhaps just recently. I don't know. I've been praying more.
Hey.
So that'll do it.
What's good?
I'm doing Exodus, and you walked out of the room, and you're like, oh, I do Exodus 90. And I'm like, haven't you done it like three times?
I have done it like three times. I'm sorry. It's just...
I love it. It's have you never so done it before? Good. I've never done it before.
Wow.
I'm finding it easy.
How many days have you done it?
I mean, I've been doing it for about a week, but it's been 4 days officially, but I like decided to just start early. My Exodus life 90, doesn't feel much different.
Exodus 90 for the first 3 weeks is like the most electric thing in the world.
Really?
It's amazing. The rest of it
is bonkers.
It's a slog.
I bet. No, because that's hard. Like, I mean, it is called Exodus, and like, I'm sure the Israelites were like freaking out. They were like,
we're in the desert.
Egypt
sucks, dude. The Pharaoh, screw that guy. Let's go. And they're like riding the high of the Red Sea for like, you know, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's like Philly winning the Super Bowl. You know, it's like, let's ride this wave. And then you realize you still live in Philly. It's like, oh man, this sucks again.
There's like a, I don't know. There's just, I've seen so much fruit. And I'm in a different place than I was when I first considered doing Exodus 90. The reason why I have never done Exodus 90 is because one Lent, I tried to give up like everything. And I hated it. For the first couple of days, I was like, this is awful. I just wouldn't let myself enjoy anything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just quit and I didn't give up anything for Lent that year. And so I was afraid to do Exodus. But like the, just the rhythm and the, like when I'm like, I had a really tough day today and it's like, man, I wish I could just like go on Twitter, or I wish I could just, you know, I really want something to eat, or like, I really wish I could just watch a YouTube video and forget everything. I'm like, wow, I can't, I can only turn to prayer. And it's like, that's been a lot of, or I can only turn to like my wife for support, or my friend Ethan, or my friends on my phone for a quick meme chat. You know, I can only turn to a few things that are personable. That's been incredibly helpful. We also got snowed in my first day of Exodus 90. So nice. it was just Monday and Tuesday were just a day of complete silence. And mm-hmm. then my wife would wake up and we would talk, and I'd be like, okay, I gotta go to work. And she'd be like, okay. And I'd work. And then it was very nice just living in my little corner. And I was doing my strenuous exercise in our living room.
What were you doing?
I was doing Tabata sets. I don't know if that's what it's called, but it's like you
Tabitha Coombe.
Yes, sure. I think it's Talitha. But you do an exercise for 10 seconds, then you rest for 20, 10 seconds, and then you do that 4 times each exercise, and you do it for like a couple of rounds. It only lasts like 10 minutes, but afterwards you're like huffing and puffing and sore. And it was a very nice way to wake up. It was actually, I did it before I had my coffee, and it was amazing. I was like, oh, this is how people used to wake up before they found out that you could like strain beans. Anyway, I'm saying that I'm very excited to hear that this is a common experience, because I'm very happy and I want other people to experience this too. Not looking mm-hmm. forward to the next part, but I do think that, I don't know, maybe this is me externally processing Exodus. A lot of the giving up things I don't do. I don't make unnecessary purchases. I don't play video games. I don't really drink alcohol.
That's the hard one for me.
I
love drinking alcohol. It's like, such a social thing. Like, I'm always hanging out with my friends and we're always drinking. And I'm like, man, that's brutal.
Did you notice? I only drink black coffee and water. I don't like using my phone. And so any excuse to not use my phone is great. Fasting is hard. That one's tough. I get real grumpy.
Oh yeah.
Holy hour is hard to wake up for. But yeah, it's so I want to live in a way like this. Like, I want to live free from distraction.
Yeah.
Because, and I bring that up because we're not a very resilient generation. I use that in the broad sense of like the people who are alive today. I feel like that's the appropriate way to classify generations.
Yes.
Is who is alive?
Who's alive right now?
We're not very resilient, and that's because we're also we're so used to having things that are at our beck and call to satiate our needs. And I think this has been true for a very long time, longer than iPhones have existed. I think we've slowly woken up to realize, oh no, we've woken up to find ourselves anxious. And it's because when you have escape, right? Like, when you have a TV, now you can go inside and you can just like turn off your brain and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to deal with your neighbors anymore. You don't have mm-hmm. to deal with, you don't have to rely on other people for food because you have refrigeration. You don't need to go to other people's houses for dinner because like you have a turkey that you can just cook for yourself and have leftovers for a week.
Mm-hmm. Is anyone saving this?
you don't need to do any of those things. And then slowly but surely, as technology gets better and better, now you don't even need, like, there was a thread on Twitter a couple weeks ago about someone like hiding in a bathtub, and the caption was when my DoorDash delivery guy knocks instead of just leaving the food at the front door. And it was like someone was like hiding, and dang. I was like, you're that afraid of talking to a person who is bringing you food?
Mm-hmm.
And you want them to leave it on the ground? You would rather your food be on the floor than talk to a person? That's weird. Also, mm-hmm. don't most doors open out? You want them to leave it in front of your door? Bad idea. You'll get trapped, or you'll knock over your soda. So like I think we've gotten to the point where we've found so many technological solutions to our problems that we don't know how to deal with them. And it's not just an internet thing. It really isn't. Which is why I like Exodus, because it's not just an internet thing.
Right.
Food is a comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol is a comfort. Video games are a comfort. That's digital. But like, I mean, it's funny because like books aren't a comfort.
Shopping
is a comfort. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because like books aren't a comfort. Like you're still allowed to read on Exodus 90. And I think it's because like, have you ever tried to read while you're suffering? It's hard to focus.
I've tried it when I had the coronavirus. I tried to read a book and my head
very
hurt. And I was like, I don't care about this. This sucks, dude. I hate words.
I never want to look at another word in my life.
Gomer brings up an interesting point on catching foxes quite often, that we get the same response from a strongly worded email that our ancestors got when they saw like a lion or whatever. I don't know exactly what it is, but like,
yeah,
we have these totally mismatched biological responses to our physical realities. It's partially just because of the nature of the world that we live in. Like, I have to be on my computer and on a cell phone for my job. I have to drive a car to get to where I need to go for a lot of things. And it's just...
What if your realtor showed up on a bike?
Be great.
Riding on the plains of...
A Mormon realtor. and so... Like there's a lot more things that can cause me anxiety, but the anxiety that can cause me is a lot less as far as like degree. So because there's so many solutions, let's say my car breaks down, right? Call an Uber, right? For a couple days.
Easy.
Until it's fixed, or borrow my wife's car and like just drop her off, or ask my boss for a ride, or ask someone else for a ride. There's a solution. But when you like add, okay, my car is broken and I'm behind on this thing at work and we need to go to the grocery store and, you know, I'm running out of this and there's this, like you start adding up just all the things of our complex lives that didn't used to be as complex. And it's just no surprise that like we find ourselves not facing these things and just, and turning to the easy solutions. And that's just so difficult for me to face the reality of how often I do that. Because like today I was working from home. I was getting emails done. As soon as like I came to a problem where I like didn't know the immediate next thing to do, I was like, get up and go get a snack, you know? And I like noticed that about myself. I'm like, man, every time this gets hard, I get hungry and I go get something to eat.
Hmm.
I was eating good things, right?
Sure.
I'm eating cheese and, you know, pepperoni,
shredded cheese from the bag.
I make an egg, a couple of Hershey's Kisses, bottle of milk, and some gummy worms.
Interesting.
I'm doing great.
This is, you graze, don't you?
I'm a big grazer.
You're a big grazer. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just how I deal with it. It's like, man, something's hard. At least I know I can have nice, good food in my mouth. You know? Like, okay, let's make another cup of coffee because coffee's delicious. And like, I'm stressed about this thing. Or like I get annoyed because I can't focus on my work while I have a podcast playing, but I like the noise of the podcast, but I can't focus on my work, you know, and I end up getting all distracted. And then I try to play music, but the music is too loud. Like there's all these different ways that I just, and it's a no wonder that I get to the end of my day and I come home and Emma's like, how was your day? And I'm like, oh, it was really, I'm stressed still. Because when it's time to sit in silence, I can't do it, Patrick. Mm. I know that I can. I've done it before. But it takes like a significant amount of willpower. And that leaves me drained for other things. And so I'm like trying to maintain like a certain level of ability. But it feels like I'm just killing my soul the whole time.
Mm.
So.
I mean, you may just have to like practice sitting in
silence.
Just like force yourself to do it like a muscle.
Are you telling me that I have to habitually grow in virtue so that I can solve these problems? I know the solution. Like, this is just the reality that I'm going through right now. And I'm just trying to tackle one thing at a time. For a while I was missing prayer. Now I'm getting up early and I'm praying every day.
Good.
You know, like holy hour at 6:30 to 7:30.
Can I share a glory moment?
Yeah.
I've been waking up at 6 o'clock feeling refreshed for the past 3 days.
Heyo.
I don't understand what's
happening. Welcome to the refreshment cast.
That's never happened before. I don't know why it's never happened before.
I think the important thing that I need to remember, this is Ethan's takeaway. I'm not saying that this is a takeaway for anybody else in this podcast. Everyone tells me that I'm too strongly worded on this show and I'm tired of it. I'm only going to give myself advice from now on out and you guys can take it or leave it. I want to live more in the present moment.
Yeah.
And I want to, when there's an opportunity for noise or a snack or a distraction or some kind of comfort, just like giving myself a double take and saying like, okay, is this something I actually need? No. Okay. Is it something that would be good for me right now? Sometimes things that you don't need are good for you. All right. Because if you haven't had a snack all day, it's like 3 o'clock and you're running low on whatever, maybe a handful of nuts is not the worst thing in the world, you know, to keep you going till the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying get rid of that entirely, unless of course you're fasting. But that's a whole different game. But I haven't been doing my examine and I have so little awareness in the moment of what I'm doing that I just kind of like float through my day. Mm. And like mm-hmm. just rely on my own natural talents to like get done what I need to get done.
I know a guy who said some things about an unexamined life, and I think he said, it's great. The unexamined life is good. It's great. It's got...
He didn't say that.
He didn't. It wasn't.
No,
that's
not wrong.
True. That's not true. Yeah, man. Yeah, no, it's interesting. I really do think, and it's not, this is not just old man yells at cloud or young man yells at cloud, as the case may be.
Yeah.
But I really do think that the problem is media.
It's the Novus Ordo.
Social media is our Novus Ordo.
It's true.
It's our yes. Novus Ordo. The reason why it's a Matt Fred quote that it encapsulates something that I read in an article this morning.
Do it in the accent.
I don't know if I can do that.
You can't do an Australian accent.
I did once and it was pretty good. Sometimes I'm really good at impressions. Sometimes I'm really not good at impressions.
Tough.
He said a girl was like asking him like what's the difference between me reading a book on my phone and you reading one on paper, and he's like, that I act on this, that acts mm-hmm. on you. Mm-hmm. I think you told me that.
Yeah.
And I'd like to couch that in like in a more scientific or more like practical. I don't know what the word is. A more precise language. When there's a difference between static and dynamic communication.
Mm-hmm.
Static communication is like a lecture. A lecture that is recorded especially.
How about a letter?
I was reading an article. Sure. Yes. But no. Hold on. Static communication.
We have 12 minutes. We got to hurry this up and get to Dark Tennis Eating Corner.
Okay.
Just FYI.
Static communication is, you should not let me talk about conspiracy theories.
I know it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Static communication cannot be modulated by the receiver. Dynamic communication can be. I was reading an article about this. The guy was the MIT guy. He did the MIT challenge. He did an entire 4 years of MIT in 1 year. And he watched the lecture at double speed.
What's up, guys? I'm doing the MIT challenge.
What's up, guys? MIT challenge.
I'm paying full tuition every semester. Make sure to like and subscribe.
He did this like 10 years ago. So,
okay. Gotcha.
He watched the lectures at like double, triple speed sometimes, and people mm-hmm. were like, "You're not retaining it." And there was a study that came out that said retention really doesn't fall if you listen at double, even sometimes triple speed. And if you listen to our podcast that fast, you know that's true because you can listen to this fast because I'm modulating my speed based on how long it takes me to process what I want to say. you have a good grasp of what our concepts are. You understand language well, so you can process it pretty quickly. If I start talking about like Trinitarian theology, mm-hmm. you might have to slow the podcast down. You may even have to like stop and re-listen to something, and that's because the communication is static. You can't change the way you receive mm-hmm. the communication except by like some kind of technological means. Mm-hmm. Reading is different. Mm-hmm. Having a conversation is different. You can change and you can increase and slow the speed of the conversation. There's a hierarchy. I think I'm saying here is that like static communication will take a lot of your attention. Because it's just constantly at you. And social media is that way. It's just constantly at you. And audiobooks are like that. Podcasts are like that. They're constantly at you. There's like dynamic communication where dynamic media where you can slow and speed up the rate at which you receive it. And that's in-person communication and books. Mm-hmm. And then there's no communication where it's just you and God. Mm-hmm. And he's just communicating to you through your soul. And that's like the most sublime form of communication. I think that kind of communication needs to be the communication where you talk to yourself, like you communicate with yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think those are sublime forms of communication, and we're missing that. And because the static communication is so abundant, we're just used to that. And if that's not the way that someone's talking to us, we don't understand it. That's all I got.
What if you let God tweet to your soul?
Tweeting with God by Mark Hart.
That's actually a really helpful distinctions.
Thanks.
We'll have to talk more about that in the future because I think those are really, really good points. I'm very grateful for that.
Of course. Dr. Data Quarter?
Yes, please.
I know it hurts.
I'm sorry.
It's not your
point.
All right. You came to the right place, you ding-dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to Dr. Ethan's Data Corner, sponsored by Catholic Match. You can start your free profile by going to catholicmatch.com/crunch to let them know he sent you. Ethan.
Yeah.
How do I tell someone it's not going to work out?
Oh, this will be fun.
This one listens to the pod, so Yahoo! We gotta be real nice to him.
Oh, yeah.
This one comes from... Oh, he does not want to remain anonymous. Jacob.
Jacob.
This one comes from Jacob. Nice, strong name. Dr. Ethan. For reference, I'm a fifth-year senior in college. My question is, how do I tell someone it's not working out? I've broken up with two different women after 3 or 4 months of dating. I've also gone on a couple of dates with a gal, but called it off before a committed relationship. In short, I hate doing it. Every time it feels like I've kicked a puppy, but I know breaking up is better than pursuing a relationship I'm not interested in. Oh, right. Yeah. Is there a page in some appendix of the Roman Missal that has formulas for breaking up with someone? I am not with you and with your spirit. Okay. Is there formulas for breaking up with people based on how long you've been dating? I've gone on a couple of dates with another gal, but she was the one who called it off. I made it a point to not be upset when she told me and to thank her for her time. Thank you for your time. But even then, it was awkward. I found out that Catholics frequently bring up the olden days when dating was super common and apparently no one was ever overthinking it. Hmm. That's a nice thought. But how about sharing the practical breakup tips from those olden days instead of just expecting young Catholics to just know how to do casual dating when we live in a culture that casually dates on Tinder? Your patient in Christ, Jacob. Good point, Jacob. I don't think that time ever existed.
No, people were.
You're telling me you think there was a time when people didn't overthink relationships? We're human beings. How much have we really changed?
Right. No, not at all. So I got broken up with once in high school, and then I was in a bunch of like non-formal, weird relationship-esque type things that were never defined, that like started and ended willy-nilly. And then one time I broke up with a girl over the phone while she was in Israel. So that would not
I broke advise. Up with a girl over text. I've done it. I did it.
Don't do that if you can.
I had to. She made me.
Yeah, I think what you do is... don't do what I was going to say because it's probably not correct. Let's see here. Oh, here's an idea. Invite her over, right? say, hey, you should come over. Me and some of my friends, we're gonna break bread together. This will be really beautiful. She comes over. She's the only one there. You break the bread and say, all right, that's us now. You're that loaf, and I'm this loaf, and then you throw one of them out the window. And
you
say this
she
is...
who dips her bread in the yes. morsel dish with me will not be my girlfriend, and then you shove her hand into the morsel dish.
Just over and over again.
Just
I would say probably meet up in person. Probably not somewhere that's you don't want to imply that you're going to be like sitting down for coffee for a long period of time, you know? Like, you don't want to go, you want to say, like, hey, can I meet you at your apartment, right? Because then she's on her home turf. You're coming in. You're going to drop the bomb. You're going to leave. She's instantly in a place of safety and security, yeah. right? You don't want to put anybody on their back foot for this kind of thing. So meet them on their turf, wherever that is, and just say, hey, can I come over real quick? Just want to chat. Because there's no good way.
I think you're looking for something that has no answer.
There is no good way, and it's hey, I've really appreciated the time that we spent together. I've loved
say,
getting no, to know
no,
you.
No, you're breaking up with me. No,
I am.
They know immediately.
Yes, I am breaking up with you, but I think this is the best. And then just leave. Like, you don't need to say like it's been such an honor. Like, God has really done it. Like, you don't need to do all that crap. Just say like, I think it's best if we see other people. And if she says, can you explain why, then you explain why. If she doesn't ask for why, don't give reason. Don't answer any questions.
Don't give reasons.
Don't answer any questions that she has not asked.
That's a really good point. It's like yes. the opposite of sales. When you've made the sale, stop selling. When you've yes. made the breakup, stop explaining it.
Yes. And just say, hey, I think, you know, I don't think this is going in the right direction for either of us. I think I need to see other people, you know, whatever. And she says, oh, okay. And then you leave. And then you, if the conversation is done, you say, thank you. I wish you well. And then like, or I'll see you around. Like if you're going to see her around, say, I'll see you around. And then you walk away. Don't give her a hug. Don't try to do like a kiss on the cheek, weird thing. You just walk away.
Bring chocolate? No, don't bring chocolate.
Don't bring any gifts.
Yeah, she's not going to want the chocolate.
She's going to throw it away. So that would be my advice. It's really just a bite in the bullet and then thinking about the other person and trying to have empathy and making it as easy for them as possible.
I don't even know if you just say, I think we should see other people.
No, not even that. We'll just
see each other.
Yeah, that's probably better. I was looking for those words and you found
yeah.
them. Thank you.
I don't think this is working.
Yeah.
Sorry. Maybe don't even say sorry. You probably shouldn't say sorry.
I just don't know what my vocation is and I feel like God is pulling me to the seminary. But like also, don't use another vocation as a way to get out of your current dating relationship.
Gosh.
Don't do that.
What a bonkers move. I really hope my coworker is here, though. I hope they don't think I'm actually throwing up.
I kind of hope that they do. I have another meeting in 3 minutes.
All right.
I got to end this. Patrick, thank you for podcasting with me.
Of course. Anytime. I love to podcast.
We'll do this again next week. Patreon.com/crunch. Discord.com. Join the Discord. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
If you ever want to break up with someone, do what Ethan said. If you want to break up with our podcast, remember, you have to send a formal notarized letter to our PO box that we haven't released yet. We have a customer service line, but it's always busy, so you can never stop listening. Thank you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. That's not good. Did you ruin the podcast, Ethan? You didn't ruin it. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next week.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.